This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow and joins us live in studio to talk growth, development, local elections. Did you know it was ported? You have a canoe, don't you?
I used to have a canoe, kayak, raft. I used to do a lot of whitewater, and I'm so embarrassed that I forgot that term.
What did you do with all your watercraft?
I had the benefit of growing up at a camp. My parents ran a camp in western North Carolina, so I grew up on the rivers and the streams and climbing mountains. And
you were one of those like wet little kids with webs between your fingers. You grew up in the water.
We had a cabin also in Lake Hartwell in North Georgia, and I spent more time, I think, underwater.
Oh, did you?
Above water.
Where was your camp in Western Carolina? Because that's where Allison's family's from.
It's in a little town called Highlands. It's a little resort town on the Georgia border near Sky Valley and Franklin.
Okay, yeah.
A couple hours west of Asheville. An hour and a half west.
Allison's family is from Waynesville. It's about an hour west of Asheville. It's beautiful
down there. Through there a lot.
Oh, man, you think these are mountains here.
But I used to portage a lot of rapids because the really big rapids, you know, I wasn't quite prepared to
you
go
gotta
down
get
there,
out
so
and go around.
I learned how to portage.
On a completely unrelated note, Brian Wheeler, have you seen that TV show on AMC called Mad Men? Have you been watching
it? I have.
Isn't that good?
I've watched the first two episodes.
It's good, isn't it?
It's kind of scary, yeah.
I mean, everybody obviously is really a stereotype or a caricature of a real person. Nobody is really a real person. But it's very watchable, I guess.
It is. It's very well produced. I mean, but when I say scary, I think back to what it must have been like. You know, especially if you're a woman working in those offices.
Woman in the workplace in the 50s and 60s? Yeah. Brutal.
And so.
Brutal.
That's what I meant by scary.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the smoking.
Oh, yeah.
It's just nonstop.
Every scene. If you haven't seen this TV show, it's a new TV show about Madison Avenue executives circa 1960 working in New York. And in every scene, it's called Mad Men. In every scene. Somebody smoking, whether it's the women hanging out in the kitchen or the men hanging out in the office or in the bar or the strip club, they're all smoking nonstop, which I guess people did. But there were, no smoking campaigns even in 1960.
One of the main characters is, of course, leading up the ad campaign for the tobacco company in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's trying to come up with the best way to sell these things.
Right. It's a good show. I like it.
It is good.
Listen, let's talk about Charlottesville tomorrow. You all remind folks what you do when it comes to local elections, because it's sort of a service that you provide that's not sort of the regular thing you do, sort of a C-SPAN type of thing when it comes to county and city planning and growth. This is something a little different.
We are gearing up now, Coy, for our Election Watch 2007. We've already put up a website at cvilletomorrow.org. You can click on the link there and get some background information on all 12 of the candidates who are running for city council or board of supervisors. Right now, we just have some of the biographical information. We have links to their financial information, who's giving them contributions, links to their websites, emails, all that stuff. And now we're getting ready for the next step, which actually begins tonight. We'll be covering the first candidate forum in the county, and this is being hosted by the Farm Bureau. It's a members-only event, but they've given us permission to come and both film it and record it for audio.
You're going to have the video of this online?
We will have the video tomorrow.
Too cool, Brian.
On our website. And
that's really cool.
People will be able to tune into it. And they've been very gracious to accommodate us and encourage us to come because they also want the candidates' information to get out there in the public realm. So that's part of
what's
we do.
What's a Farm Bureau?
That's
Are they still around?
Sure. Albemarle County Farm Bureau. Joe Jones is one of the key players. He's the chair this year, I believe, if that's what they call
it. We should have him on the show, talk about the Farm Bureau.
Joe has been very plugged into many of the committees that you and I have talked about on this show. So he was involved in the Mountaintop Protection Committee. He's been involved in all sorts of things. So he's a wealth of information. He's a farmer out in the Whitehall area.
Joe Jones.
J-O-N-E.
I wrote it down.
So
Farm Bureau next to it.
Great.
Or I'll see this in my briefcase in a few days and go, who the heck is Joe Jones?
So they certainly have a set of issues that they are interested in measuring each candidate by. Charlottesville Tomorrow's role is just to be there and cover it, provide the content to the public. We'll also prepare a transcript so people can download a PDF of everything that was said at this event. We'll do that with four other candidate forums that we're co-hosting. We'll do one for city council, and then we'll do one for each of the magisterial districts in the county. And then other groups, as they have forums, will also be there to cover them. All of this is leading up to our producing a voter guide. We will call each candidate into our office, and most of them have already scheduled their appointments. We will interview them and give them a set of questions in advance. Some of those questions will hold back and sort of surprise them once they get there. Our goal is to get them on the record when it comes to growth, development, you know, land use, transportation issues, get them on the record, and then we'll take excerpts from their statements, their own words, produce that in a voter guide. We're a nonpartisan group, so we're not picking a candidate. We're not endorsing anybody. It's just to get each candidate on the record on this set of issues and get that out to the public. We'll mail a voter guide to every household in the city. We'll also mail one to all the magisterial districts in the county that have a race this November.
And what's so interesting is this has never been done here before, has it? I mean, you're covering local elections like they have never been covered in this kind of depth. In the past, I mean,
well, this is actually our third round of elections for Charlottesville tomorrow. Now, you're right. I don't know of another group taking quite this approach. What's new this year for us is adding the video element and also working with the Virginia Public Access Project. VPAP is the group that tracks the money in Virginia politics. So that's a new addition that we've made this year as well.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Now, Brian, if you read the local blogs, there's often criticism, and usually it's from one misinformed person, that Charlottesville Tomorrow is biased. And Keith Drake, when he was on this program a few weeks ago, said, well, I think Charlottesville Tomorrow is real biased against Republicans, and I don't know if Republican candidates are going to participate in this voter guide that you're putting together.
Well, in fact, David Wyant, supervisor for Whitehall, who's up for reelection, just emailed me today, gave me his submission for our website, and we just published that. All of the candidates right
way
now
to go, Dave,
are participating, and I credit them for recognizing the importance in doing this. I mean, I think they have seen over the years, as I mentioned, this is the third series of elections we've covered, and they know our process at this point. The candidates know that it's going to be their words that appear in our voter guide. So that's up to them as to what they say and what their positions are on some of these issues.
You're not editing somebody's remarks to make them sound stupid or to slant things?
Absolutely not. In fact, Coy, we
I mean, it's
we
very,
send
I've
it
read
them.
Those before. It's sort of like, do you agree with this or do you want this or what's your thought about that?
And we send
it's pretty
them,
simple,
we send
straightforward.
Them, we send them the statements before they're published and say,
this, oh, I didn't know that.
This is what we got out of that conversation.
So they actually sign off on the sound bites that go out in the voter guide?
Yes, they get a chance to see them in advance. So again, we think it's a very fair process, all above board. We've been preparing them for months to get ready for this and telling them, here's what we have in mind. I'm pleased to announce that we're working with Neil Williamson and the Free Enterprise Forum. Free Enterprise Forum is a group that's funded by the Chamber of Commerce, the Blue Ridge Home Builders, and Realtors.
They do a lot of good work.
And Neil and I decided we should co-sponsor these candidate forums. So those four forums are being done by our two groups together. His group is a little different. I mean, the Free Enterprise Forum will take a position on many of the public policy issues that are talked about by the Board of Supervisors. But I applaud Neil because over the past couple of cycles in the city and the county, he's had these candidate forums. And we very much wanted to make sure those kept happening. And so this year we're co-sponsoring them.
Remind folks again where they can go and find out the sort of the schedule for all these candidate forums, whether they want to show up in person and ask questions or whether they want to be sure and see the recap with text and video and audio on your Charlottesville Tomorrow blog.
If you go to seavilletomorrow.org, that's our main website, and up in the top right corner, almost in the top right, is a 2007 elections link. If you click that, that'll take you to our main elections page. And you can get all this information. There's a special elections calendar right there. It's got tonight's candidate forum. And then it has the schedule for all the forums in October. That's when most of the rest of them will take place.
No, there's one tonight.
There's one tonight. The Farm Bureau is getting started early.
Farm Bureau Joe Jones.
That's right, Coy. Don't forget your note over there.
There you go.
And one thing I put on our blog today, our blog is a different part of the website, the weblog or blog. There I put up a request for questions. So if the public has a specific question they would like us to ask in the voter guide or at these forums, please let us know.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at seavilletomorrow.org. There was a recent meeting that involved Wendell Wood, who you've been on this program with before, been talking about it on the blogs. we've talked about this with Jeff Werner, but we haven't had an opportunity to speak with you about it since that meeting. Remind us what happened at the meeting. Oh, by the way, we got some audio for that. Here's what happened at the meeting.
Mr. Dwyer.
Hi.
Mr. Rooker.
Yes.
Mr. Slutsky.
Yes.
Ms. Thomas.
Yes.
Mr. Wyatt.
Yes.
Mr. Boyd.
Yes.
How about that? What happened? What happened at this meeting? What was going on?
Well, yes, as you just heard, it was a unanimous vote by the Board of Supervisors to approve a rezoning related to 15 acres of land just across the street from the National Ground Intelligence Center. This is up 29 North.
Across 29?
No, across Boulders Road,
okay.
Which is the road they're on.
Their driveway, yeah.
Just across their little road.
Okay.
It's in the designated growth area. Currently, it used to be zoned for industrial use. And now it's going to be offices and apartments, potentially to help support the National Ground Intelligence Center's expansion as they add jobs to our locality. So it was quite interesting, Coy, and I was glad you had people on the show talking about it. It's funny. I was talking to somebody recently about my appearances on your program. And they were saying, Brian, I just never can get the emotion out of you. I can't tell, you know, which if you're in for something or against something and what exactly you're thinking. And I was thinking to myself recently, you know, had that person been watching me at this meeting, they would have seen some emotion because in the middle.
I heard you were fired up at that meeting.
Well, in the middle of their discussion, I got up and walked over to the sign up sheet to make sure I could sign up for public comment. And I rarely speak. A lot of listeners may think that I go to these meetings and I speak at them all the time, and I don't. I'm there more as a reporter documenting the conversation. And
you've got your camera and your podcasting and all this stuff.
We're busy with all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's very rare that I actually step outside of that and make a comment on behalf of Charlottesville Tomorrow and what, representing our organization. Ironically, I'd done it earlier that morning in front of the board to give them our survey results. And we've talked about that on a past show. One of the survey questions had to do with, how well is local government doing as far as giving adequate opportunities for, you know, genuine public participation. And we got a rather low number. It was about half the population thought that that local government was doing a good job in that area. And so what was happening was this discussion was going on. I had been at the previous discussion in front of the Planning Commission. There, the project got approved over the objections of some planning commissioners saying, we don't have all the details yet. We don't have enough information to base our decision on. We don't know what these proffers are going to be. We don't understand the whole plan. So then you come to the Board of Supervisors, and there was a set of proffers that was delivered that morning by Mr. Wood.
Against the board's policy, right? Don't they say proffers have to be in 9 days ahead of the
signed
meeting?
9 days and submitted in advance.
And he delivered it a few hours
before. Well, there was a set of proffers that was submitted in advance, but a new set came that morning. And then the deputy county attorney, Greg Kampner, apparently worked with Mr. Wood throughout the morning to revise them, finalize them, such that when the supervisors came back after lunch, sitting at their place was another set of proffers. So the public never had the opportunity to really see these in the agenda materials. And then Coy, during the meeting.
And just so we know, the rules, quote unquote, whatever they are, the procedure actually calls for the public to have a chance to look over these things, right? I mean, this isn't staff eyes only or something.
Well, the reason the policy exists is to support a couple goals. One is transparency on this whole process, such that the public can keep up and observe and comment. You know, the reason they have public hearings is so the public can come forward and make comments.
But it's not just developers and Board of Supervisors folks cracking up, making these little deals behind the scenes, right, and then announcing, well, this is what we're going
to
build.
Well, the county's goal is to have all this information online and available at the meeting for the public to weigh in. But staff also need time. The legal staff and the planning staff need time to review all this information such that they can make their best recommendation to the elected officials who are going to vote on this. And what got my attention, Coy, was Mark Graham, who's head of the planning and development in the county, the staff member. He came to the meeting with the policy in hand, copied, ready to hand out. And he started handing it out to the board and saying, listen, guys, here's our policy about accepting late proffers. And the policy is we don't do that. And And, that's got to get your attention. If a staff member is showing up with the policy in hand, handing it out to remind them of what they're supposed to do, that's a pretty clear signal in my book. So there was some discomfort about how it was heading. And so the board, in the middle of this discussion, in order to avoid opening the public hearing, because as soon as you open the public hearing, you can't change the proffers without having yet another public hearing some other date in the future. So to avoid the public hearing, they called Mr. Wood up and said, hey, we just want to talk to you. Where are we with these proffers? And they decided they didn't have enough information. They asked Mr. Wood to work with staff.
The same problem the Planning Commission had weeks before.
That's right. And you know, the policy,
they still didn't have enough information.
The county's goal for a smaller project like this is that the Planning Commission fully vets it, gets all the information, gets the final plan, and can give very solid recommendations for or against to the Board of Supervisors. In this case, time didn't allow for that. The majority of the Planning Commission said, please go ahead. We got to keep the ball rolling on this.
Aren't there developers? I'm not saying Wendell Wood is one of them. I have no idea, but I know from a fact as a reporter, there are developers in the past who sort of look at the Planning Commission as like, you're just a hoop I got to jump through. I'll just do the bare minimum with you to move it up to the board. And they're the ones that make the decision. That's who I'm dealing with. I'm not dealing with Planning Commission members. I don't care what you say.
Well, there's certainly the potential for that sentiment by any developer. I think, though, if you take a project like Biscuit Run, that was initially rejected by the Planning Commission, went to the Board of Supervisors, and you might have made that argument that they were hoping to get to the next stage, get a quick decision out of the board. The board, however, sent it straight back to the Planning Commission, said, go back to work, make this plan better. So, that's the risk you take. If you decide to just keep it moving forward and not address some of the questions at the Planning Commission level, you always have that chance that the board will send it back.
Ryan Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. At this meeting with Wendell Wood, they basically ended up just sending him out into the hall with their attorney and basically said, go out in the hall and get a deal we can vote yes on.
Well, they
because we're ready to vote yes. Go out and do what you need to do so we can vote yes.
Well, I don't think I'd characterize it that way, but I would. They sent him out in the hall to see if they could work out a better deal. And then they came back an hour or so later and said, here are two new versions of the proffers. Pick one. And so this was yet another version the public had not seen. So then they opened the public hearing, and Wendell Wood made a few comments. And then I got up and made a few remarks myself. And these are up on our blog at SeavilleTomorrow.org. But,
And you were principally disappointed with what? Because you watch these meetings all the time.
Well, I was
What's the main thing that disappointed you about what happened? Because clearly you can listen to your remarks at the meeting. You were very disappointed.
The public had no opportunity to participate in reviewing these proffers. Now, some of the supervisors would probably argue they ended up with a better deal for the county than what they had heading into the meeting. And that may be true. And I didn't get up there and say I'm for or against this project. I said, here's my critique of the process you just went through. And the public got left out. And so that was the point I was trying to make to them, that before they voted, they ought to be aware that they had their county attorney saying, earlier in the meeting, he hadn't had a chance to fully review the proffers. Staff had not had a chance to fully review the proffers. They had a staff member handing out the policy saying, please read this. And then they went ahead and voted anyway.
Jeff Werner, who was also at the meeting with the Piedmont Environmental Council, was in on this show shortly after that meeting happened. And I just totally lost my train of thought about what Jeff said. But he, too, was disappointed with the process and said so at that meeting.
Yep.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow joins us live in studio. And you know what this means. It's time for the speed round. And we will look at the major developments that are going on in our area, beginning with the 5th and Avon project down there below the Hardee's, behind the Hardee's. Back in those woods along 64 behind the Hardee's on 5th Street Extended. What's going on down there?
Boy, this is the big box home improvement you've been waiting for on the south side of town.
Is it a Home Depot?
Well, they're not saying, but that's what everyone... it's been recommended for approval by the County Planning Commission in July, and it was a 6-1 vote. It'll be coming before the Board of Supervisors in the near future.
Albemarle Place at the intersection of Hydraulic and 29.
Yeah, this is the big development about the size of two downtown malls wrapping around Sperry Marine. And it's, of course, been approved a long time ago, but right now is being stalled with some sewer capacity issues that they hope to be resolved in 2009. The developer, Frank Cox, says that's not going to slow him down, so they're moving forward with trying to line up their tenants. It's going to be 700 to 800 apartments, big box grocery store, lots of parking decks, theater, hotel, shopping.
And another traffic light out there in front of the big post office.
That's right, across from the post office. There'd be another.
Belvedere. I never heard of this. A neighborhood on Rio Road? What is this?
This is on about 207 acres. It's a major neighborhood model development, up to 661 homes and a commercial town center. And Belvedere is making a name for itself as environmentally friendly. They're going for what's called LEED certification.
Oh, Belvedere. Yeah,
for
yeah,
many
yeah,
of the
yeah,
homes
yeah,
there.
Yeah. That's the big LEED neighborhood.
That was approved in 2005. They had their groundbreaking ceremony this past May. So they're moving forward starting that.
Remind folks what LEED is, because it's like the latest, highest rating for earth-friendly homes?
Yeah, it's green building. So it's a certification for green building. It's called Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design.
The infamous Biscuit Run.
Biscuit Run, the conversation
continues. The biggest development neighborhood in the history of Albemarle County, by the way.
I thought you might say that. And it's now had two work sessions in front of the Board of Supervisors. They just had their last one on August 8th. Public hearing is expected in September, maybe might get pushed to October. Again, timing is of the essence to the developer here. They're hoping to get the proffers and plans submitted tomorrow.
How many homes is Biscuit Run now? Where are we now with
3,100 homes.
3,100 homes on 40 acres, is it?
On about 900 acres.
900 acres, and mm-hmm. they're proffering a 400-acre park, is that
that's
right?
That's right, in addition to that 900.
And but the proffer, that's sort of, they take the value of the land then and put it in the, you see what
well,
I mean? Rather than giving cash, they give raw land, and then they find what that raw land is worth.
Well, they've put a price tag of about $5 million on the value of that park proffer, so they hold that out as one element to their proffer plan.
Can the sewers handle Biscuit Run? I mean, if Albemarle Place is in trouble because of the sewers.
That's a great question. The current sewers cannot, but there is an agreement in place between the developers of Biscuit Run and the Albemarle County Water and Sewer Authority to make sure that we get the capacity that's required.
Hollymead Town Center at the Target Shopping Center is what I call it.
This one sort of has snuck up on folks, I think. 1,228 homes are under discussion to go up behind the Target.
This one on that, again, isn't
up
it?
On that hill. He has certainly been involved in this project. He's not the front person in front of the supervisors right now.
So over 1,200 homes up behind the Harris Teeter and the Target up on that hill?
That's right.
And these are like townhomes, right?
Yep. And they would be above commercial. So you might have commercial on the first floor and then three stories above that, that would be residential. But this is part of what is going to complete Hollymead Town Center. For it to be a walkable, livable community, you have to have people living there. So we've had the shopping, the retail component. There's another part of this project, though, what's called Area A1, which is another 277,000 square feet of additional commercial that would go on that area to the left, where the
big
stone house used to be.
Let's call it the mud flats.
The mud flats.
Yeah. And that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes.
So if you're sitting at the Starbucks there on the corner, you look out on the mud flats.
That will be new commercial development.
That's more stores over there?
More stores.
Uh-huh. North Point, Route 29 North, across from the UVA Research Park. North Point.
Yeah, and we used to think that was a big development. That was only 900 homes, and that's on about 264 acres. That's up past Profit Road, as you said, on that side of 29 North.
You pass 84 Lumber and then
that's
back
right.
in there?
Okay. And it's all along there up to the North Fork of the Ravanna River. It was approved in August 2006 by the Board of Supervisors. They are starting to get their permits in place for different stream crossings, but they're not really breaking ground yet.
Yeah. The market has slowed all of this down,
sure
right?
Sure has. Yep.
I mean, you get approval, then you got to get a permit, then you got to build it, but you're not going to do the permit and build it unless you know the market is ready for
and
it,
I'm
right?
And I'm sure the folks at North Point and Hollymead Town Center are closely watching what's happening up in Greene County, because that's certainly going to be a competition for
what's happening
their
in Greene
retail.
County?
Well, the new Walmart that's going up there and other developments that have been prepared. So as you go up 29 North and you look left and right as you're heading into Ruckersville.
Right, right.
Talk about mud flats.
And just not to confuse folks, the Freed Companies has that big cleared off space with the new water tower
right.
before you get to the Sheets. The new Walmart is not going there. It's going up at 33, right?
Correct.
Old Trail Village.
An oldie but a goodie. Still coming along. Old Trail's out in the heart of the Crozet growth area. This was approved back in 2005. Very few, if any, building permits have actually been issued for homes in Old Trail. There might be a small number by this point. But most of the development out around Old Trail is not Old Trail Village. It's other by right development. So as people look at Old Trail, that's where they filmed the movie, of course. The development you see is just the beginnings.
Ravenna Village. Where is that? Ravenna Village. That the one that had the water problem?
There have been some water discussions out at Ravenna Village. This is just outside of Glenmore. Would be on public water. Glenmore, that area, village of Ravenna, is part of our designated growth area. And this one has been approved by the Board of Supervisors back in June. And it's going to be another 521 homes on 93 acres.
Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. You can get more information there. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.